scump praça.
That's our intro.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bicycle Brasa. This is a show with two brasa talk movie news, review shorts and some cock in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
Yes. Is this an episode? I think feel like this is an episode people have been waiting for.
Yeah. People actually, they like didn't want to spoil our opinions on this one. They were like, have you guys watched this yet? Are you going to review it? Okay, we won't say what.
Yeah, we won't say anything. But whenever this comes out, that's what we like to do. We're a bunch of teasers, Jody and I. We like to get you all excited and then just, you know, leave.
They call us Edgewood.
No, I'm kidding. This is the payoff that you've been waiting for. You're going to have to wait a little bit longer because we're going to get into the news.
Our news and shorts.
Ugh, Jody. This is a big ugh for me.
There's a few ugh items.
Yes. Okay, I'm not a huge fan of Jaden Smith.
I don't know that anyone outside of Will Smith is a big fan of
Jaden Smith. No, he's got some fans. I mean, he's got like his music fans and stuff. But, I mean, Karate Kid was not that great, in my opinion. I know you liked it.
Don't mind it. I liked
it. I didn't think it was great. Mm. And After Earth, I mean, that's an abomination.
That brought the end of the earth, that one.
But he's been fueling casting rumors for Spider-Man.
But why?
Because he fucking obviously wants to be Spider-Man.
Yeah. Obviously,
Miles Morales
is very much at the forefront of people's thinking because of Into the Spider-Verse.
The new game.
And they also have set up a multiverse Spider-Man with a potential for a Miles Morales that Tom Holland himself has mentioned.
Yeah.
He would love to have in the franchise.
Yeah.
Jaden Smith saw that as an opportunity.
To be like, hey.
Hey, guys. I don't mind playing Miles.
No, I don't want him to be Miles.
That's my Jaden Smith.
Is that it? It's spot on.
Hey, guys.
That's fucking spot on. I thought I was talking to Jaden Smith.
I'm channeling undercover, bro.
Hey, guys. I want some mayonnaise on my chicken.
I want to be Spider-Man. Spot on. But like, I really don't want this.
No.
I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. I don't fucking want him to be Spider-Man.
Not at all.
They are better actors.
Not in any capacity.
Oh, where? Get rid of him. Kill him.
Just don't.
I mean, not okay. Kill him.
You just don't give him the role.
People have hyped themselves into a role before.
That's true.
Yeah. It has worked.
It worked. But I also felt like those were potentially good fits.
Yeah.
Where they've hyped themselves into roles.
No, definitely.
This is not
a good fit. Really, I don't think he's got the chops to fucking handle this.
No.
First of all, he can't relate to being a poor kid from New York.
No, and Miles is like incredibly charismatic as a character.
Yeah.
He's even more relatable than Peter Parker. And Peter Parker was the whole reason that character was the most popular Marvel character is because of the relatability.
Exactly.
Miles was better.
Yeah.
At that part.
Because first of all, he's a person of color.
Yes. So for those of us who are people of color, we can relate. Yeah. But Jaden Smith doing Miles does.
Manita.
No, man.
Manita for him.
No, man. That hype train needs to. He can join the same hype train.
If I had the list, I would have tweeted him to my now.
He can join the director of the original Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
With
David Ayer.
Yeah, he can join Ayer with getting that movie out and getting him cast. You know?
One wants to see that fucking shit.
Yeah, it's
no
on the list.
No one wants to see Ayer's fucking movie.
It's on the list of things that no one ever wants to see.
Nobody wants to watch it. Leave Britney alone. More Encanto news.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Yeah,
no,
foot
no,
sack, man.
No, no.
Just foot sack. The Encanto song. We don't talk about Bruno. That's what Jody's rendition. That was lovely.
Spot on.
Absolutely. Mind blowing how good.
Better than the original for you.
Better than Jenna.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah. So the song, We Don't Talk About Bruno, has passed Let It Go as the highest charting Disney hit.
Of all time.
Yeah.
That is bonkers.
It's crazy.
No, this song is, I think it's, I can see why it's the most popular song. Mm. I mean, we've had our Encanto discussions between us, and a lot of the other songs are very stage like, you know, it's like theater productions.
Yes.
With overlays and people where there's like, you know, the backing vocals also are like different
super fast
complex lyrics.
Dialogue.
Yeah,
the lyrics are so condensed, and it's like, I know Lin-Manuel Miranda has like a hip hop background, right? So it's borderline rapping, but this is a kid's musical.
Yes.
Yeah. So
with obviously they do also cater for
But I mean there was I think it's that first song. I can't remember some liquor. But she was just like, and I was like, what the fuck is she actually saying?
Yeah.
Okay, the fact that I'm forced to watch the songs because they give like story elements.
That's
and
vital.
And plot. Yeah, that's it's vital to the plot. So you have to watch it. But I struggled with that.
Yeah. I think
I'm very slow, man.
Yeah. And look, the songs were hit and miss, but this one is universally loved.
Funnily enough, this one I do not remember.
Yeah. But it's loved. If you remember that, you'd like it.
My issue with this is that it's going to give Lin-Manuel Miranda even more clout.
Oh, yeah. And he is probably the most it person in Hollywood right now in terms of, you know, people want to be associated with his projects.
Yeah.
He also did Tick, Tick, Boom recently with Andrew Garfield, directed that also.
Yeah.
And Andrew Garfield spoke about how, yeah, Lin-Manuel just decided, like, I'm going to direct a movie now. That's how talented he is. He's like, I'm going to direct a movie. It can't be so hard. And he does it. Like, yeah, but, you know.
Fuck, man.
Everyone should be thinking that about themselves.
I'm tired of him.
Well, Lin-Manuel.
Yeah.
How dare you?
I know.
How dare you?
You're a fan. You're a huge fan. I respect him.
I'm not a huge fan. I still haven't seen Hamilton.
Yeah. I haven't watched that either.
Yeah. You were thinking of doing that. Remember, the stage production.
What do you think about that? Us actually watching. Listen, let us know.
Yeah. Slide up into the DMs.
He's worth 80 million now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I know, but I was like living in his car or something.
Everyone needs that story, man.
That's true. And then he fucking spent all that time writing Hamilton. And
Do you remember when Ed Sheeran, when he now finally blew up and everyone was telling the stories about he lived in his car for extended periods. And then he did an interview and he's like, I don't live in my car. It's like, I was driving to a friend's house. I was going to sleep at my friend's house.
I had some luggage.
And I had luggage with me. And then the drive was longer than expected. So I just pulled over at like a rest stop. And I thought, I'll just sleep here for a few hours.
Yeah.
And then I went to my friend the next day. I wasn't homeless. And I'm like, yeah, but it reads better.
They love to tell that story. But I don't like Ed Sheeran. I think he's trash.
Oh, Ed Sheeran.
No, he's trash. I think you should listen to it. You're going to listen to that. No, Lewis Capaldi TikToks. In that vein.
Okay.
So TikTok. Don't listen to Ed Sheeran. Listen to Lewis Capaldi. Mm-hmm. He's
someone
way funnier.
That used to know.
He's funnier in interviews too. Okay, Jody doesn't know who I'm talking about.
I know Lewis Capaldi sings that song.
Which one?
And then he threw it all.
Doesn't sing it like that. I didn't even know what you were singing.
Oh God, you sound like Jenna.
If you're gonna listen to that type of music, which I'm not a huge fan of, I support Lewis Capaldi. Fucking Ed Sheeran can suck an egg. After that, we got there from fucking Lin-Manuel, but you can also suck an egg. You know what? All of you suck a fucking egg. All right?
Boiled.
Hard boiled. It's like chalk. Andrew Garfield of Tick, Tick, Boom fame.
He is.
He's a listen. I know you've made fun of TikTok, but he is blowing up on TikTok right now. People fucking love this guy.
I did see the movie and he is like...
No, but he's obviously blowing up from Spider-Man and Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yes. Spoiler alert.
But yeah, he's blowing up and people fucking love him.
Yeah, I can see why.
Yeah. But
he's a really good actor.
No, but he's a good guy.
Yeah. Very cool dude.
So like when they were... I think it was at the height of him dating...
Emma Stone.
The Paps. The Paps were catching them in the street and they had held up. They covered their faces with like charities. So they like, go give these people money.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
But yeah, he denies being himself when out in public.
I can see him doing it. No, that's not me. And he does British accent.
He can do any accent.
He could actually just channel any other accent
that's
he
wants. True.
But the hair.
Yeah, but they use the old Captain America disguise.
Which one is that?
The baseball cap and sunglasses.
Yes.
Like you can't see me because I'm in disguise. Yeah. So they that's a true and tested way to hide your identity.
It works.
From back in the day already. Leonardo DiCaprio does it. Tobey Maguire does it. Baseball cap and sunglasses, baby.
Good to go.
And now you have to wear a COVID mask, which is even better.
Even better.
But I'm sure.
But them paps find you.
They find him every day.
But so he just tells if random people approach him, he's like, no, it's not me.
No. I get that a lot. Yeah.
Thanks.
I get it all the time.
I actually do a lookalike competition.
Who entered? There was
Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah. Yes. Nice.
You apparently, that's not the real story, though. He came third in the Charlie Chaplin lookalike contest.
Yeah. Who cares?
That sounds better.
Who cares if it's fake? I mean, the legit news. Let's worry about that. Mm. These stories, who gives a shit?
Anecdotal. Least exciting news of the day.
I know this.
Yes. This is the other meh.
Nice, the most Jordy. Meh. I didn't know you were coming here to ruin my day.
The most meh.
So, The Raid.
Our, probably, like, in both of our top three action movies
of all time.
Like, ever.
I mean, that sequel is also up there.
Yes.
Eh?
Kitchen Fight.
Yeah, Kitchen Fight. Oh my God, Kitchen Fight. The Raid Redemption is the choreography, the story, the acting, the cinematography,
the action,
everything.
The horror.
Yeah.
the everything squeezed.
The visceral gruesomeness of what happens on screen is amazing.
Goosebumps.
So, obviously...
The one person you'd want directing that.
No, but like, even the idea now, before this news came out, the idea that Hollywood wanted to make an American version.
Was very concerning.
I know. And they, Frank Grillo was tied.
Yes.
Which
that excited
that
me.
That did excite me because he's about that life, you know. He does like MMA and shit.
Yeah.
And he can pull it off. Boss Level was amazing.
Yes. Boss Level was... Like, and again, it's not a movie that had any right to be that fun.
Exactly.
It wasn't for you.
Which is nice. I like those surprises.
I love that.
Like, hey, I'm a good movie. But Michael Bay is connected to the Raid remake.
Attaching his unique brand of bios. I don't know why. Gareth Evans, the director of the original, is involved with
Yeah, but why not involve him by making him the director of this film?
Yes. And Iko Uwais is still famous.
Who the fuck is Patrick Hughes?
I don't know.
That's the other name, yeah. It's Michael Bay, Gareth Evans, and Patrick Hughes.
Iko Uwais is actually getting like so many roles now, not just with like Hollywood films, but in Netflix series, Netflix movies also. Get Iko into this movie. Get the originals back. Get Mad Dog.
Did they mention Dingus?
Iko Uwais.
No. Did they mention Frank Grillo in this one?
I don't think so. Because as far as I understand it, Frank Grillo was in the previous attempt to do this movie.
Yeah, it says that stars such as Chris Hemsworth, Frank Grillo, and Liam Hemsworth are rumored to be attached in the earlier attempts. I don't want Liam Hemsworth.
No.
He's the lame Hemsworth.
Yeah,
it should be lame Hemsworth.
Even the Hemsworth that was in Westworld is better than Liam Hemsworth. You know, there was an older brother that
was also in Thor, the third Thor.
Yes.
Thor 3, the third Thor. Thor 3, the third Thor. Yeah, I'll take that brother over this trip.
Yeah. But I'm gutted. It hurts me to my core to think of what Michael Bay will do to this beautiful concept.
Yeah, because there's no explosions in The Raid.
No.
It's all hand-to-hand, close combat.
Yes, there is some. I mean, there's lots of
No, I mean, but now I'm thinking about Bay Level.
No.
There's nothing remotely close to that.
No.
That's why I actually think, I hope, that the budget is smaller.
Not with Michael Bay.
Because that's a Thai film, right? Indonesian film.
Indonesian, yes.
So they are like guerrilla warfare when they make movies.
Yeah.
They figure, I mean, that shot, I think that was The Raid 2, where the camera goes through the car.
Yes.
And there's a guy in a car seat suit.
Yes.
And he gets the camera. Like these type of things. Americans do the prison fight
where they extend the wall and stuff like that also.
Amazing.
It's like, it's so creative, so brilliant. Michael Bay is not going
to
ingenious ways.
We'll do it with CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More CGI.
Yeah, we'll do it with CGI. And the problem is it won't feel the same.
It's not. They will not capture that magic.
You know what? This fucking movie is unnecessary. I'm just getting upset thinking about this.
Should have put this as the last news item.
Nah, Jody. Ruined my day,
Jody. Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Fuck this. I hope it fails. But I also want Gareth Evans to get paid. So,
But I also want Iko Uwais to reap the payoff.
He won't come back. He can't speak English well enough.
No, but this is his friend.
He might be the villain.
Yo.
Well, it's set
make in him the new Mad Dog.
Philadelphia's drug-infested badlands.
Oh. Who's the bad guys in Philly? Apollo Creed.
The guys on the motorbikes.
Apollo Creed.
As you know, Jody and I are feminists.
Strong feminists.
Yeah, strong feminists. We surround ourselves with strong women and strong female...
who can kick our asses.
Influencers. Definitely, 100% kick our asses.
Easy.
And we're always talking about the pay gap between females, not only in like regular work, like everyday corporate jobs and wherever, but in Hollywood specifically.
Yeah, I think we covered it actually on a previous news.
Of course we did, Jody. Yeah. We do our thing. That's exactly what we do. But Jennifer Lawrence has addressed the pay gap between her and Leonardo DiCaprio on Don't Look Up.
Yes, and it's $5 million, which...
Enough.
$5 million, anything's a lot. But with actors, it doesn't feel as big as gaps that that have existed previously, right? But it came out that there was a $5 million gap in their pay, and Jennifer Lawrence is fine with it.
Yeah.
According to her... Leonardo DiCaprio brings in a bigger audience, so it makes sense that he gets more money. I don't know if I agree with her on that, though.
The fact that he brings in a bigger audience.
Well, Leonardo DiCaprio is a huge name, right?
But it's long. It's long to say. There's a lot of syllables.
Leonardo
DiCaprio.
DiCaprio.
Yo, that just fucking highlighted the memory in my fucking head. Leonardo DiCaprio.
But if you think about his movies, like how many of his movies make huge bank? Titanic's like one of the biggest ever. But apart from that, he does a lot of projects that are like driven by
Scorsese.
You know? Scorsese for one.
Scorsese.
But it's also like passion projects. Even Quentin Tarantino's movies don't relatively make that much money actually.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Lawrence is a huge fucking name.
She's a new... Look, her star, The Shine, has dulled a little bit.
Mm.
Because, you know, people were just... She was in people's faces too much. But she still got some clout.
She does.
But look, Jody, if she's fine with it and that was the negotiation, then it is what it is.
Yeah.
We might not agree, but I mean, that's what they agreed to. Remember, we spoke... And we said that there's a lot of like A-listers here, and they all demand quite a chunk.
You would assume.
Exactly. So maybe it even was a budget issue.
It could be. I mean, honestly, Netflix just throws money at everything because they can. Like, I don't know where they make money, but they can apparently. But she says that she's fine with it, yeah. I don't think $5 million, like I said earlier, is as big of a gap as what we've seen in the past, because we've seen where like women are getting like 5 or 10 million and the male leads in films are getting 30 million.
Yeah,
so this is not as bad as it's been. She has her reasons for thinking it's fine. Like I said, I don't necessarily agree with her. I think that she herself is a huge draw for any project.
Yeah, I mean, she's super talented, man. I mean, anything that she's in.
I probably like her character more, for that matter, in this movie than Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's true, me too, yeah.
Like, she's like, awesome.
But you know what? Pay women what they're worth.
Yes.
The Oscar-winning movie of 2019.
Yes.
Am I right?
I think so. Paris, or is it 2020?
God damn it.
It's one of the two, but you're close.
Anyway, Parasite, the Oscar-winning film. It put Korean film on the map because people should have already been into Korean films. But for a lot of people, it was their first introduction. Bong Joon-ho, he was also highlighted as an amazing director. And now it's that thing. It's that thing of like you make an Oscar-winning film and now you can sort of pick and choose your projects.
And suddenly the big studios, like Warner Brothers, interested.
Let's pump some money into this motherfucker, man.
But you remember, Warner Brothers have recently lost good old Christopher Nolan, Jody's favorite.
That's right. Jody's favorite, Christopher Nolan. Warner Brothers has lost him because of how they have been releasing their films on HBO Max.
And they need a new name director to associate with like their brand.
Yeah.
Who better than...
Oscar winner Bong Joon-ho.
Exactly. And him and Robert Pattinson have been attached to a new sci-fi project.
Look, Robert Pattinson hasn't even hit the peak of his career yet.
No.
And the Batman, I feel, is going to launch him into the stratosphere.
That is going to propel him to like next level.
Just like a grappling hook.
Yeah.
But it's true. And I mean, who better than... Because Bong Joon-ho tells like... I love the stories that he tells, you know.
It's powerful stories.
And wealth inequality, like all these real issues that people are dealing with in an interesting way.
But that's also my concern because now you have...
You always have concerns.
Always have.
Have faith in
them. I temper the hope. When you come to these big studios, like if you get a storyteller like Bong Joon-ho and he is... Like you said, he has got such a unique vision. How do you make sure that we still get that type meddling. Of message? Meddling's not going to help. But how do you make sure we still get that type of messaging and that type of, you know, powerful stories from such a unique director at a big studio? I don't think it always goes hand in hand.
That's up to his contract negotiation. Before he fucking touches anything, he needs full creative control.
Yes. Absolutely.
Wait, he didn't do... Oh, fuck.
He didn't do Train...
Yeah. I was going to ask. That's another Korean director.
Yeah, that wasn't him. But look, shit. Korean movies in general are just like...
They're tonally so different.
And the way that they are then copied by America, by Hollywood, and made worse.
Yeah, it's just an old sanitization of the
old boy.
Fucking, if you're ever going to watch a movie called Old Boy, which I do think you should, watch the Korean version.
Please do.
It's so much, way better. And if you really like what the fuck twists, watch
One
Old
of
Boy.
The ultimate
yeah. Papa. If you could, if you ever slide in our DMs and you fucking watch Old Boy, I want you to record yourself reacting to the end of that film. I would love to see that shit.
Sec, it's time for a review.
The Matrix Resurrections.
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 Matrix Resurrections, directed by only one Wachowski, Lana Wachowski this time around, starring Keanu Reeves, Carrie-Anne Moss, Jessica Henwick, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, Neil Patrick Harris, Priyanka Chopra, Jonathan Groff, I don't know who else I must stop. That's an extensive list this time. To find out if his reality is a physical or mental construct, Mr. Anderson, a.k.a. Neo, will have to choose to follow the White Rabbit once more. If he's learned anything, it's that the choice, while an illusion, is still the only way out of or into the Matrix. Neo already knows what he has to do, but what he doesn't yet know is that the Matrix is stronger, more secure, and far more dangerous than ever before.
Yeah, more secure.
Computer lingo. Harder to crack.
Wow. Okay. I did not think I would ever see another Matrix film.
No. Ever.
Ever.
And I think we were also filled with anxiety and trepidation when it was announced that this was actually going to happen.
Yeah. We were like, why? but also, okay. Then we saw the trailers. We saw the first trailer that was underwhelming, I think.
No. The first one was the one that had the go to the website, choose the red pill and the blue pill.
Yeah.
That was kind of exciting. That kind of got me like, hey, are you guys embracing this again? Because they used the old website. They still had the exact same URL.
The old URL.
And I was like, you know what? Maybe.
Maybe this is the one. This is the one. It's not a cash grab.
No, maybe. So actually, it's interesting that you give the timeline because I think it's so pertinent to the story.
Yeah.
Because when this was initially, when we started hearing rumors that Warner Brothers wants to make another Matrix, the Wachowskis were not interested.
No.
Because remember, this movie was made by the Wachowskis when they were still the Wachowski brothers. And they were done. They were like, no, we've told our story. That's a closed loop for us.
Yeah.
We aren't interested. Warner Brothers then announced, we are making Matrix. whether you guys come back or not.
Whether you like it or not.
We don't care whether the cast is coming back. We don't care whether you're coming back. We are doing this thing.
Yeah.
So that news started filtering out into the world. And then we heard that people like Yahya Abdul-Mateen was attached to the movie. I'm not sure if Jessica Henwick was attached at that point already.
No.
But then the originals were also suddenly like they're being spoken to. They might be returning. And in actual fact, they are starring in this movie. So it was quite pertinent to the story, I think. Because this is one of the most meta movies that have ever been made.
It's meta as all hell. Well, let's rewind to the trilogy. The first Matrix movie changed cinema forever.
1999. It was incredible.
It changed everything. It changed action movies. It changed sci-fi. It changed...
It changed people's perceptions about reality.
It changed lives, my friend. Yeah, people still to this day think we're in the Matrix. Yeah. This is all a simulation. Dumbass.
That movie, yeah.
No, but if it is a simulation, fuck, man. I wish you'd just give me a better a
why
better
didn't one. The simulation give me more money?
Yeah, that's all I want. Everything else is dope.
Just want more money.
But yeah, that it blew me away.
It still does when I watch it now.
I didn't watch it again. I
saw it at the end of last year.
Okay.
And I can watch that movie anytime.
Did you watch the trilogy in preparation?
No, I didn't. Oh, okay, I didn't see all of them. The first one just happened to be on TV at some point. Okay. And it's literally, if that movie's on and you start watching it, things like the hallway fight in the building where Morpheus is being kept, the helicopter scenes, the fights with Mr. Smith, bullet time, all of those things they hold up.
They hold up.
Nothing about that movie feels dated.
Oh, makes you want to wear a fucking leather coat.
those really sunglasses. Tight black sunglasses.
Yeah.
Guns up the wazoo.
While fucking rock techno music plays. Oh, man. Oh,
tight leather outfit.
Sure. That was the fucking shit.
It's amazing.
And then Matrix 2.
Which Reloaded.
Reloaded. Not as great.
Still iconic scenes.
No, definitely. I mean, that was the thing. Their action set pieces, just the ideation of it, like the ideas behind it, the way they set things up, mind-bottling.
Yeah. Look, the story, I think everyone agrees that the stories of Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions, unfortunately, do not deliver on the setup of the Matrix,
definitely.
The original Matrix. But the action sequences that they came up with more money.
Yeah.
And
a little rubbery, though, at times. I mean, heavily reliant on CGI.
Very heavily reliant on it.
So they do look like rubber dolls at points. But it was the technology of the time, to be fair. But that was like the pinnacle of that technology.
Highway chasing Reloaded. I mean, there are very few movies that have managed to replicate the intensity and the absurdity of that scene.
Yeah. So some amazing action set pieces. The movie wasn't as good. And then we move on to the third movie.
Revolutions.
What did you think of the overall conclusion of the trilogy?
It was quite funny for me because I remember the Wachowskis.
Funny haha or funny...
Reloaded and Revolutions were recorded. They were filmed back to back.
Yeah.
So they filmed over the space of a year and they released those movies in the same year.
Yeah.
Right? Like 6 months apart.
I think so, yeah.
And the Wachowskis were insistent that there are no religious ideologies in this movie.
Yeah.
This movie is...
Neo isn't Jesus.
Own thing. Because there were all these comparisons.
Oh, man.
They were insistent. Nope. Nothing about this is religious. Whoever's interpreting it in that way is just wrong. This movie is its own thing. Take that as you will.
Yeah.
And then the Revolutions comes out and it's like... All the religious analogies, it's everywhere in that movie. I mean, even Neo dying, he looks like he's on the cross.
Yeah,
at the
he
end.
Looks like he's on the cross. Yeah,
dying.
Oh god. But yeah, I wasn't 100% happy with this film either. But it felt like a conclusion. They had that epic battle, the thing, and they decided that it's a
compromise was reached.
What was it? Well, peace, yes. Essentially. Yeah. Like, those who want to stay in the Matrix, stay in the Matrix. Those who want to leave, will leave.
You have to let them leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still love that line is when she says, "How will I know you'll stick to it?" He's like, "What do you think? We are human."
Yeah.
Which is pretty dope.
Yeah.
So I was fine with it.
And a closed loop.
Done. Yeah.
It's a closed loop. Honestly, I didn't.
I was done. I thought that was that.
Yeah. The Matrix game actually continued the story. And I think Morpheus was one of the protagonists in that. He carries on trying to pull people out of the Matrix and still battling AI in the Matrix and things. And he eventually, within the game, dies but comes back or some shit like that.
I don't know. I didn't finish it or play it, maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
So there was a continuation of the story, but it wasn't very mainstream.
Oh, yeah.
And that wasn't like release. Everyone knew this is what's going on. You needed to go find out.
Yes. They had a place in my heart and it's done.
Yeah.
And
we've moved on.
Visited, whenever I wanted. And then you said it was the announcement was made.
Yes.
Fucking hell, man. So I was hyped after the second trailer, I think. When they showed us a little bit more.
Yes, the first trailer with that whole campaign of the polls got me very excited, actually. Yeah. So between the two of us, we both had some level of like, you know what? Maybe we do want to go out.
Keanu, you can do this shit.
Nah, Keanu can do anything.
That's true. And then the movie happened.
Yes, it happened to you.
It happened to me. No, look, I don't even know. Okay, so without...
Still spoiler-free.
Yeah, without spoilers... The story is extremely meta, like you said.
Intensely.
And they reference the first film.
In a very confusing way.
But this must be the most that a sequel has referenced the fucking original ever in film.
By far. I think that part we can discuss, right? I mean, it's fairly early in the movie.
Mm.
The concept of this movie is that Mr. Anderson, Neo, is actually... the designer of a game, a trilogy of games that were called The Matrix.
Yeah.
And those games, funnily enough, play out like actual movies for some reason.
Yeah, it's like hyper-realistic. Like
hyper-realistic games.
So it's like VR games, I assume.
Something like that, But all of the clips from the original movies are basically, or supposedly, things from the game that he designed.
Yes.
And Mr. Anderson starts doubting his reality again, as the synopsis tells us.
Yeah.
And decides he needs to figure out whether the world he's in is real or not.
Yeah. And funnily enough, the catalyst for all this is that Warner Brothers, actually mentioned in the film, Warner Brothers.
Our parent company, Warner Brothers.
They, I wouldn't say inform him, but they, what do you call it?
His boss.
They force him to create a fourth game.
Yes. And they are doing it with or without him.
Yeah. I feel like that was an actual conversation with the Wachowskis.
Yes, I think it was. And look, I think this isn't a spoiler, but I felt a lot of anger in this movie. Like, a lot of anger. And
from you watching it?
From Lana.
Okay.
As the writer and the director of this film, there was a lot of anger. And this is just my viewpoint. I know that people are going to disagree with this. But also almost like a lot of spite.
Yeah.
In terms of the type of story that is being told here.
Yes.
So using these meta references to actually air out a lot of frustrations. And a lot of, like, fuck yous.
it was a lick a lot of up yours.
Yes, quite a lot.
Which I enjoyed, because, like, fuck corporations, you know what I mean?
I agree, but does it make for an enjoyable movie experience?
I don't think she can.
No, I 100% agree with you that Lana does not give a fuck with
I don't think she cares how this movie performs.
No.
I don't think she cares how it's perceived. I don't think she cares about any of that.
Yeah.
This is all speculation, but it's
obviously,
just based on what we've seen.
Yeah. I think to give some backstory on why the Wachowskis, how it happened that the Wachowski sisters made their decisions on who comes back and who doesn't. Lana and Lily are actually
rock, paper, scissors. Well, Loser has to make the movie.
So, Lana and Lily work on a series for, is it HBO?
Sense8. I think it's Amazon, actually.
Amazon. It's one of the bigger companies, yeah. And that series is apparently, like, it's very time-consuming. And they've been working nonstop for quite some time.
Yeah.
So, Lily decided, I don't want to go back to this. Lana then, their parents subsequently have died now during the time of COVID, I think.
Okay.
And Lana came from a point of wanting to go back to older properties because she was kind of reviewing.
Speed Racer, baby, do go back to Speed Racer.
Do you want to spoil that memory?
No, but like that, anyway.
Speed Racer with more money.
Yes.
But so Lana decided that she wants to go back. She wanted to go back to a point in her life where like things were familiar and so on.
Yeah.
So this property, with Warner Brothers insisting this needs to happen, and with her also wanting to go back, she felt like she was ready to tackle this project. So this, it's Lana on her own. Lily was like, I'm tired, I can't. And Lana's like, I'm going to tell my story.
That sounds like me. I'm tired, I can't. Fuck it. I'd like to think that she negotiated another project for her doing this project.
Probably. I think so. It's one for you, one for me, yeah, type of a thing.
But okay, we're talking around it a lot.
Yes.
Let's talk about the actual film.
Let's go into characters.
Yeah.
So Neo's back. Carrie Ann Moss returns as Trinity.
She also does not... She's in the simulation, what we think is the simulation, and she is married with children.
Yes.
To someone else.
Yes. And also gets... maybe I shouldn't mention that.
Yeah.
Post spoilers.
But she's there. She's
in this movie.
In the simulation. Yes, she's in this movie.
Lawrence Fishburne is not back.
He's not back.
And Hugo Weaving is not back.
So, Hugo Weaving, I feel like he doesn't want to return to anything he's done before.
No. And I like that thinking. I mean, he's had his time with his
project. What's the last film he's done?
I don't even know what he's done last, but he's done so many iconic things. Yeah. It's like, well, if he doesn't want to go back, then fuck it.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to. And then we have a whole cast of new characters, led by, I would say, Jessica Henwick. Probably. Yes. She's like our, like the next protagonist.
She plays Bunny. Yes. Rabbit?
Bunny, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Pugs.
Yes.
I was like, oh, Bunny doesn't.
But, so she's bugs. I would say she's more the protagonist initially than Neo is, in fact, because she's like our point of view character into what's going on in this world. And her character is a programmer, computer programmer, who also has a awakening of sorts, wants to know what's going on in this world and all that shit, and then figure some stuff out. And that's tough.
It is tough. She's figuring out why this is happening, the Matrix, and it's a weird like simulation within a simulation type thing going on, and she wants to figure out what's going on there.
Yeah. All of this stuff is things that we can't really talk about without going into spoiler territory. So what else can we discuss? Neil Patrick Harris, new character in this movie. You don't like NPH in this role.
I think if he's not doing a sitcom or a fucking
musical
show tune,
he
shouldn't do anything else.
Yeah, he needs to take a break.
I honestly, say what you want, but he's not convincing in anything else.
No, he does the same thing in all his roles now as well. And we recently spoke about Ryan Reynolds. If you do that same shtick in every single role that you're in, it wears a bit thin.
100%.
Just like diversify your skill set.
Diversify your skill set. Diversify your portfolio. Alles wat malas. And I cannot take him seriously in anything he's... I think you still said that you think he wasn't that bad in Gone Girl. I thought he was horrible.
You hated
in
him.
Gone
Girl. I remember you said.
Same thing.
I didn't dislike him in that role as much as...
But this was worse though.
Yes, infinitely. Jonathan Groff.
Infinitely.
Leo's boss.
Also, I think he was the wrong
fit for the role.
Was the wrong fit.
Look, we can. This is in trailers.
Can we say who he is?
Yeah, I think we can because it's in the trailers.
So he's Agent Smith. He plays Agent Smith.
And this was also announced ahead of time.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of, even in the trailers, does the Mr. Anders.
Mr. Anders.
So he does that stuff where he's clearly playing up to Hugo Weaving's portrayal of the character, but also someone who doesn't necessarily know what's going on.
Yeah.
So,
very strange. But the problem with him is he's supposed to be Agent Smith.
Agent Smith, yes.
Compared to the guy in the in which one was it when Agent Smith takes over the guy in the real world?
At the end of Reloaded and beginning of Revolutions.
Yes.
That guy was brilliant. Yes.
How good was that guy?
No, that guy embodied him like completely.
So why would you not get someone else like that?
Because people have forgotten. It's been so long.
How could... They were banking on everyone remembering the first movies.
That's true. I don't know.
Because even Yahya Abdul-Mateen, he had some Lawrence Fishburne sauce in there.
Yeah, well, that is his character, essentially.
He's Morpheus.
A version of Morpheus.
So why not do the same? Because it just didn't feel right.
Yeah. He plays up to certain lines, but not to the character.
Yeah.
You know, he imitates more than embodies the character.
Yep. And that never works.
What's your take on the meta-ness?
Man.
Because we can't, there's not much we can discuss in this portion of
The metalness, it got a bit, I don't know, it seemed a bit heavy-handed at times after a while, because it was like, oh, okay, now this. Oh, they're showing this. Oh, they're recreating this.
Yeah, lots of exposition dumps. I think the original Matrix, it felt like it did that better. You know, there's a lot that needed to be explained, but it felt more organic.
It was touch and go there in the original one. So it's a lot of stuff.
But
they had the whole conversation with the architect, like,
I'm talking about part one exclusively. Oh, okay. So if I compare the exposition dumps in there, which had to be very heavy, right? But they did it well, man. It flowed. It was all organic. They made it exciting. So that works.
Mm.
And this movie also, I think, does a lot of what the part 7 of Star Wars, what is it called again?
The Force
Awakens.
Force the Awakens, man.
It's a similar thing because they also like replicate scenes and are trying to tell similar stories as the first one, because it was successful. I don't think it does it as well.
No.
So, you know, and the metaness is also very heavy-handed, but very confusing. You know, this whole discussion around the original was a game, but it looks like a movie, and lots of cutscenes that shows the originals.
Yeah.
I don't know if that did this any favors.
No.
So, yeah,
I don't know if I did. I would have liked it if they did it in a... They added a little nuance to it. They did it a little more subtly. Maybe referred to the old movie in the context of the game.
Yes.
Like, oh, we're playing the game now, and they, you know, move things like that.
Yeah.
Maybe that would have worked, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Let's talk special effects.
Unfortunately, significantly inferior to.
They must have had less money for this.
I would think so. I assume so.
Are we lumping like action and special effects
together? I think that's...
Okay, so lumping all that together and comparing it...
It is...
Terrible.
It's such a disappointment and such a vast step down from what we've seen before.
Like, not even compared to The Matrix, just compared to other modern action films.
Yeah.
Of which
Keanu Reeves is in one of the most iconic
franchises ever, action franchises ever.
So yeah, it's very sad. And Chad Stahelski, who's integral to John Wick and he's integral to the original Matrix trilogy, makes a cameo appearance in as the husband. He's Trinity's husband in this movie.
Oh shit.
Yeah, that's Chad Stahelski.
Oh right.
So I don't think he has any behind the scenes at all.
No, he just came in for the cameo, man.
And he just came in for the cameo as a means of.
But Ying Wu Ping is the original.
I'm glad you remember. I was trying to remember.
Ying Wu Ping, he passed away.
Yes.
So he wasn't involved in this at all. Yeah. But he was super important for the first trilogy.
Honestly, his presence is.
Yeah.
So
he's an Asian All Star, Golden Harvest champion.
Yeah.
Like that motherfucker. They're like some of the best kung fu scenes you've ever seen.
And the original Matrix set the bar.
Yeah.
For action sequences. And even Reloaded had great sequences and scenes in it. Even though the movie's quality was inferior, maybe, to the original. But this is such a.
I would have forgiven a lot if the action scenes were of a higher quality.
Like what you would expect of a modern film.
Exactly.
I expected...
Of a Matrix film.
Yeah, I expected, not necessarily as groundbreaking as what the first Matrix was, but a similar standard of like basic action level with modern effects.
Yeah.
That is what I at the very least, that's what I should be getting here.
Yeah.
And that's not what we got. And I've seen people commenting on this in a way where it's like, well, you know, Lana didn't actually want to portray violence as the answer, or like it's subverting expectations in terms of the fighting is so important that it makes up for other things. I'm like, but it still looks bad.
It's a Matrix movie also. It still looks bad.
It looks bad. Yeah. Like even the very basic scenes that they do don't look great.
The changing of the frame rate also at times when it was like, that's so cheap. That's like fucking 90s John Woo shit.
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah. That and the really choppy edits, it just felt very sloppy. Very, like, there was no effort.
Like someone who didn't care.
Yeah, there was no effort. It's like someone who didn't care about it.
Okay, so I think now we can do our bravos.
Yeah, we've got one. That's a longy.
It's a longy.
No, we asked for short previews.
This bra gave us a sequel. He gave us an original and a sequel.
That's fine, Tintin. Thank you.
Yo, okay. So, my 2 cents on the Matrix film.
It's a 50 cents.
Really good. Better than 2 and 3, which don't deserve a mention. Matrix 1 was really well written, an eye-opener. This one in particular, I think, takes a poke at the first movie, especially against directed at the conspiracy theorist that called that movie a documentary, and that people need to wake up and not be a sheep and blah blah blah. Especially when the movie starts with Tom Anderson, the programmer that is so immersed in designing this game, it makes you think, what is the real message here? But anyways, overall, I enjoyed it. It was a really good movie.
What else can I say?
Here comes the rest of it.
The love story plot that's in this movie, that was kind of touched on in the first movie, is cute. I think that could have been stretched out a bit. And Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother, I don't know how he landed this role, but his comical side in his more serious role to this, I don't think he was the right fit for the role. But I mean, all that aside, I think in my opinion, I enjoyed it. It was really good. I spent last weekend watching all three again as a hype up to this movie. But again, I feel number 2 and 3 was a fucking waste of time. A waste of time.
People listen to the show. Why don't they can obviously swear. Why?
No, I'm disappointed. We were doing so well. And he drops that F-bomb. Yes.
I agree with him about Neil Patrick Harris, yeah, obviously. But I don't agree that this was a great film.
Yeah. Let's do our review.
Yo,
it's a very sad, disappointing nigh from me.
Yeah, it's a nigh from me too, dog. Just didn't hit on so many levels. I missed on so many levels.
You know what? Maybe this is actually a tribute to Lana Wachowski, but when I was disappointed afterwards, I thought very hard about, am I being disappointed for the right reasons?
Yeah.
Like, is this actually a good movie and I'm not seeing it? Mm. Or is this just not a good movie?
Yeah. Am I dumb?
Yes. I had a lot of introspection, and we watched this while on holiday. There was no TV or anything else.
Loving by the pool. Am I wrong?
Have I really thought of everything? I missed something. So I had a lot of time to introspect on my nineness of this movie, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it either. Okay, let's go into spoilers. Trinity can fly.
Neocon,
Trinity can
redirect, and Trinity can fly. Oh, we in light of our new Who Died thing, Neo and Trinity didn't die.
No, he didn't die. Neither of them died, actually.
Yeah.
They fucking rebuilt them.
Yeah. So Neil Patrick Harris' character in this movie is called The Analyst.
Yes.
The architect needed to be replaced with someone who understands people.
He looks at the data.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, we need to reincarnate these people inside the simulation.
Because of energy.
Yeah, because they give off more energy.
Yeah, when they are in proximity.
I missed some of that. Yeah.
Yeah, look, it's really complex explanations. But essentially, Neo and Trinity being close to each other but not dating is good for the Matrix. And also with Agent Smith being around. It's like they give off liquor energy, man. Liquor vibes.
They like vibes.
The auras are
lithium
strong.
Batteries.
Strong auras.
Auras. So, they like that expensive lithium batteries. Yeah. That give off that liquor juice. Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Because I missed that. It was Barney Stinson.
Yeah. I think one of our big questions was, if they do another Matrix, Trinity was killed.
Yeah.
Trinity was dead.
Dead.
She was really dead. And Neo, for all intents and purposes, was also, really dead.
He also died, yeah.
As well. So we didn't quite understand how he would come back. And if he came back, why does he have eyes? Because Neo in the real world in Zion
lost his eyes. Yeah.
So all of that is actually explained in this movie.
Well, they had to.
Yeah, the robots like just like kept him on ice.
What would have been cool was like they didn't regenerate his eyes and he was blind in the real life.
In the real life, yeah.
Yeah, and then he would have like blackouts in the
weekend,
in
like
the simulation,
and he sees stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I think there was like a thing that I thought I had figured out from some of the trailers was that perhaps Neo wasn't the one this time.
Mm.
I thought that perhaps the twist was that Trinity is actually the one, and that's why she's the person that they need to save, because she's the one who they need to.
No, it's actually together they make.
Yeah,
they make the ones.
Yes, the two of them make the ones.
The two of them make the
Spice
ones.
Girl song.
Yeah,
because tonight is the night when two become ones.
I need to save the world like I never needed to save the world before.
People make world saving together, baby.
Fuck it. Look out for a new single on Spotify streaming soon. No, it's like the Flash meme. Do you watch the Flash, the TV show?
No.
Yeah, I stopped a year ago. But there's a cringy line of dialogue that Iris West says to the Flash, and she's like, Barry, we are the Flash. So it's the same principle.
They just copied that from Guardians.
Together.
We are Groot.
Yeah, but I mean, he
was
is
less
the,
hot.
He is the Flash. She can't fucking run
she
fast.
Can't do
I don't know what she's saying. But anyway, it's the same thing. Together, they are
yes.
the ones.
Yeah. So, and the one's powers has apparently been distributed equally between
yeah.
the two of them.
Yeah. And he just needed a jump start.
Yes.
She can fly in the end.
And he can.
He flies at the very end.
Yes, right at the end.
Yeah. But yeah, that whole analyst story is fucking lame. The explanation of the bullet time scene.
Yeah, that was also, again, I feel like we spoke about the action scenes, right?
Yeah.
And I felt like this is more of that, almost like that anger and that frustration
yeah,
with the fan base.
You.
Yeah. Because now it's like, oh, I'll use bullet time against you.
Yeah.
And you thought bullet time was the thing that would save you.
Yeah, that was like a so meta thing. That was the thing that set out the first game or
yeah.
whatever. The biggest thing that they pulled from that movie was bullet time.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Like, why be angry at us for loving a concept that you've created? Like
yeah.
something that is so unique and still copied to this day.
Yeah.
And like subvert expectations in such a way. And again, this is me interpreting.
We can't say for sure.
I don't know what Lana's thinking, but I'm saying how it felt to me. It felt like there's all this anger and this frustration, and Tintin makes reference to it, this like fuck you to expectations
yes.
and stuff. Where it's like bullet time. Oh, you guys love bullet time? Well, now I'm gonna use it in a different way, and the baddies like it.
Yeah.
And the bad guys use it for them.
Mm.
And you can't actually benefit from it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, but why?
Yeah.
Like, what is the point
why?
Of that?
Trash. I also felt like cheaper and
yeah,
smaller.
It looked cheaper. It looks smaller. The one cool
But I mean,
effect,
is that COVID?
Some of it has to be, I
yeah.
reckon, because this movie was filmed during COVID. But the one cool effect that was potentially something that could have been cooler than what they've done before is that you don't have to use a phone anymore to go.
Yeah,
like,
they use mirrors now.
There's mirrors, and they can also, the walkways, the moving walkway stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like a
That's
door
really
can
cool.
open in a train. So you're in a moving train, and then you like open another door, and you're in Tokyo, and you open another door, and you're in Sydney. So it's like, it's interesting and cool, and
yeah.
potentially like a new cool way of
It's like a VPN, man.
Yeah, that's like just hoying you,
all
putting
us.
You
yeah.
all over, bro.
But the scene that was like the most disappointing was the scene where Agent Smith encounters Neo for the first time.
Mm.
And I thought, okay, this is where we're going to get some epic.
I kept waiting for that.
Yeah.
I think that's
yeah.
like, that's kind of what you referenced.
Yes.
That you keep, that's why I was also invested, because I'm like, something's going to happen. It's
yeah.
going to kick
this
off.
This is
soon.
Where we're going to get
this is where,
shit.
Yes.
Yeah. And it does not.
No, end. That never happened.
That battle or that fight scene is horrible.
Even, and
the Merovingian pops up for some reason,
yeah,
and he's a bear.
And he's aged like to all hell and gone. And
he's a homeless person.
He's still franching it up.
Yeah. And then other people, they were. I didn't realize who it was at first.
Priyanka Chopra's character.
No. When the Merovingian
pops up
as a Behi,
yes.
and then there were other Behis also.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I'm supposed to know who these other Behis
yeah.
are as well.
Yeah. So it was the same people from the castle fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, what the fuck is this? Wasn't necessary at
and
all.
And looked horrible.
Mm.
The fight again looked horrible.
Absolutely.
we can maybe explain also Yahya Abdul-Mateen, as we mentioned, plays Morpheus. But Morpheus in this world is a program.
Yes.
So we couldn't explain this earlier, but so there's the Matrix, there's Zion, the real world, and then there's also a place within the Matrix where they run test programs where they like explore things within certain confines.
Yeah.
And that's where Bugs and where she meets Morpheus, and also where she gets to Neo eventually. Yeah,
it's like the beta testing ground for the Matrix.
Yeah, something like that. So it's like you're in a loop and it keeps running the same thing over and over again.
Seeing what the outcomes happen.
Yeah, until you get like a main quiet outcome and then you run with that.
Salute.
So,
but then you also have the other real world place, which we discover once Neo is pulled out of the Matrix. He goes to...
Io.
Is that what it's called?
Is it Bio or something like that?
The Sony Vio.
Yeah. You know that only exists in movies.
I have never met anyone with a Sony Vio laptop in real life.
I had one lecturer at university who had it, and he positioned it much like he thought that there was product placement.
Oh, nice. You see that logo Bio. Real big. But anyway, they go to the other...
I'm sure it's called Io.
Okay, let's go
with
that.
But I'm checking. I'm giving
it No, let's go with that. Fuck it. We go to Io. And this concept I really liked. So they had peace for quite some time. And then Morpheus wasn't happy or something.
Yeah. No. Morpheus, he felt that the world had been saved. So Morpheus became the leader of this new republic.
Yeah.
And he kept thinking that nothing could go wrong because Neo has saved them.
Yes.
So he didn't even acknowledge when the machines were starting to get greedier and when there was dangers forming because in his mind, Neo has saved
everything.
So nothing else.
But then Zion was destroyed somehow. There was a Nuka battle.
Yes.
But what I thought was very interesting is that machines left the machine world to join the humans.
Yes, that's cool.
Yeah.
That so they're working together. Cool. And also the programs like Morpheus, because of the help that the machines have given the real people in Zion or Io, they can also, the programs can exist in that real world. So they are constructs formed of them.
Yeah, the physical constructs. That was constructs.
I really like that.
That was amazing. So now there's this place, Io, where the machines and the humans work in unity and peace and love to further better the humans' agenda or whatever. And with science and harmony and love and shit. And Jada Pinkett Smith is now running the roost.
That was... Yo, out of all the people to bring back.
Yeah, why?
First of all.
It was bad,
eh? They've aged. She is in makeup and she's like playing an old person. Mm. She is horrible.
Yeah.
In this role.
She's bad.
I cannot explain enough.
It's like a high school theater production of a young person playing an old person.
Yes. Yeah. Like me when I was in Sunday school.
Yeah.
And I'm the old man in He's Got the Whole World in his hands.
He's got the whole
And I was playing the old man and I had my dad's jacket on and a cane. That was all.
That's it. That's what they are. And they brought her back and it is what it is. She's not willing to help Neo and them because she says that they finally achieved some sort of peace and she's not willing to risk
sacrifice
that.
Yeah. They do also allude to the fact that she's in a lesbian relationship with the woman who does all the engineering stuff. But it's not even explored. It's kind of just the intimacy is implied and shown very subtly, which I thought was...
It's fine.
Like, but also, why not just... If it's a relationship, why not just show that?
Especially from a director, Lana Wachowski.
Yeah, and I will say this also. To me, this movie had like a lot less of the... Again, this is maybe subverting expectations, but there were all those discussions around like, you know, what did the Matrix mean, the original and all that stuff. And this one didn't really have a lot of discussion points in that way for me.
But again, I'd like to think that it's just her doing the May project.
Not
because
being
she's
invested.
Forced to. Yeah.
Not being invested at all.
And I mean, Keanu was Keanuing. Carrie Ann Moss was Carrie Ann Mossing.
She is sadly underused
in
this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the amount of screen time that she has in there is actually
And then I saw like fucking interviews also where she was like, when she agreed to take on the role, the worst thing that she could think of was getting into shape for the role.
Ah.
So it's like, okay, husband asked her like, are you ready
to go
through that training again? And she's like, yeah, she's ready to do it. But then she's not even utilized that much in the action scenes.
Not at all. And I mean, there's a there's a reference to an iconic bike scene from the original Matrix where within those simulations, you know, the simulation within the Matrix, where a different person is doing that.
Yeah.
That's all the same things that same Trinity does. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, that's not Trinity.
Yeah.
And then Bugs is also like, that's not Trinity.
Yes.
Fuck you, man. Let Trinity do some quiet stuff.
Nah, it was cack. They even nerfed Neo in terms of like just making him force push everything.
Yeah. He doesn't actually have any powers.
Yeah, he doesn't actually hit people that much. All he does is deflect things.
He doesn't fight much. I don't know. It's like,
I understand also why the green filter was gone, was missing, because this is a new version of the Matrix. Yes. It's not. I kind of missed it. I did.
And I think that maybe it's also a good thing in that was a way to clearly distinguish between the Matrix and the real world.
For sure.
And because they didn't want us to know what's going on, if they had applied that green filter from the start, then everyone would have been like, Matrix. Nah, it's a Matrix. Nah,
it's the Matrix.
Matrix. As enormous. I can see that ones and zeros.
No, for sure. But I that's why I say I understand why they did it, and I just missed it.
Yeah. And there seems to be a spate of films coming out now recently where they embrace a nostalgia.
It's making me feel of original properties.
So things like Ghostbusters Afterlife and what's the other one that we spoke about?
That one.
Scream 5. They embrace the nostalgia of the originals, but they also, it's almost like honoring the audience as opposed to being pissed off at them.
Yeah.
And that for me is it's an essential difference. There were conspiracy theorists who are absolutely fucking nuts about the stuff that happened in Matrix.
Simulation.
But not all of us are like that, man. No. Some of us loved those movies because it was good movies.
Yeah.
And we enjoyed them and they were iconic and parts of like our, they are important parts of our film history.
Yeah.
So why are you pissed at us?
I think she's pissed at everyone. I think she's pissed at Warner Brothers. She's pissed at the fans because they're the ones who actually, you know, supported this movie so much and to the point where Warner Brothers wanted a sequel, so now she has to do it.
Mm.
Yeah, I just think they're over it.
Mm.
And it's like, fair enough. You did your stint. You put in the work.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have been forced back to come in.
No, I agree with that. Like,
I think it's an unnecessary sequel.
That whole messaging around the power that these production studios have over directors and essentially their ideas and it should be their property, the stuff that they've come up with. I get that frustration. I agree with it. And I, especially based on this coming out, I agree with you. They shouldn't have made it.
Like, they shouldn't have made it.
If you make something like this, it's got to be all in. It's got to be like,
let's swing for the fences.
You are willing to go back to what made the original successful.
Yeah.
You can either confirm certain theories or prove them wrong, whatever, but you've got to be in it, man.
Mm.
And I don't think that Lana in this case, it didn't feel to me like she was in it. It felt like she was forced to make this and she's going to do as much middle finger to like the studios and everyone else as she can, because this is my thing.
Yeah. I would have been more interested in the war when the machines join the humans and stuff.
That would have been very interesting to play.
They could have made that in like a series.
Was more convincing characters or better characters. Like, there were so many people that were in Zion that you could have rather focused on than Niobe than Jada Pinkett.
I did like seeing Keanu Reeves and Carrie-Anne Moss on screen together again.
Yeah, they are magic together. Yeah. But
I like that.
There's so little.
It's not enough.
And for me, if you really wanted to subvert expectations, why not go with Carrie-Anne Moss as actually the one this time?
Oh, where?
That for me would have been a better subversion.
Take out that whole room full of
everyone.
SWAT members. Yeah. That would have been class, my bro.
Yeah, I was
whack. Wiggity whack. I think so fucking Neil Patrick Harris also should not be in things.
Yeah. Do you know, and the other thing that actually does them a disservice, especially with Jonathan Groff as Agent Smith, is that they cut from like him to Hugo Weaving scenes.
Yes.
Like, right after each other, where you can see the difference.
It's fucking jarring. Because he doesn't have the same cadence or anything.
Nothing. Quality of actor.
Yeah. No, he is a good actor.
Yeah, I don't know many of his things, but, like, Hugo Weaving is
he's amazing in Mindhunters. I think, yeah? Mindhunters.
Yeah, the series. Yeah. I'll take a word on it.
It's David Fincher. So, overall, unnecessary sequel. Should never have been made. But luckily, I can go back to the originals anytime I want.
Yeah, and apparently this has bombed very badly at the box office. So, like, even if there were potential discussions around doing more sequels, Warner Brothers has probably been dissuaded now because...
Well, I mean, they also released it on HBO.
Same day release on HBO. So that maybe also shows you that they didn't really believe in this property. And that's, again, you spoke about budget earlier.
Yeah.
Did they really back this as much as they were saying? Maybe. I don't know.
Matrix. You got any shout outs and reviews for the homies?
We do got some reviews. Shout out for, we got a few. Asher Party. Okay, it was a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, which we need everyone to go and
do.
Yes,
guys. Please, man.
We've been bombed.
Yeah, if you know, look, fuck it, it is what it is. The damage is done.
Some people don't like us.
Yeah, and they're the ones that leave reviews. So our overall rating is like dropped.
Yeah, significantly.
But I don't want to say, if you don't believe that this is a 5-star show, don't go review it.
But if you like us.
If you like us and you do think it's a 5-star show, please take the time and go review it on Apple Podcasts.
Create a profile. Go and give us a 5-star review. Go and write what you like about the show. It really helps a lot with promoting us on Apple, with our algorithms and just getting us out there. So it would be a huge, huge thank you.
Yeah, it'll help them more so. So please do that shit. But party in my pants. Let's do it.
Asher Party says, the best! !
Yes.
Talking about the best.
She comes from the promenade and then she's like, you're still fucking doing this thing that we're supposed to be doing.
That's making all the money.
Yeah. Fuck all money. Sorry, Asher Party. Let's go.
Asher Party says, the best. One of my favorite podcasts. It's hilarious, but also super informative.
Yes. That's the sweet spot. That's what we go for.
Tez Fandinay. 5-star review. Lekker mensa. I love Jody. Super entertaining and funny. Keep it up, guys.
Okay, I need to see that. That's
here.
Yeah, I need to see that.
That's here. Ellie_22. Abby, I don't create fake accounts. I have legit emails for all of my fake accounts.
No, who is that your wife? No,
Jenna is not that type to go.
I love Jody.
Ellie_22. We know who that is, actually.
Yeah, we do.
Heck, wish I could have given them 10 stars. Also given us a 5-star review. The Bioscope Russell are criminally underrated and unbelievably funny. Also, they DM me late into the night, saving me from crippling loneliness.
Ah.
We do that.
I know, we will do that. Remember, we slide in our DMs, we'll slide right back. They can give that other 5 stars in monetary form if they want.
Yeah,
to.
Like just give us money. Yeah. That's even better.
We'll send you our Venmo or Cash App.
So yes, please go and like our stuff, Mensa.
Is that all of them?
That's all the reviews and shout-outs that we have this week.
Thank you so much, guys, for those reviews. It really helps and we really appreciate it.
That's for sure.
So if other people wanted to find us, Jody, how could they do that?
Bioscope Russell Podcast on Instagram and on TikToks. Slide up into the DMs. Send us all your reviews of the movies that we post. And don't forget, as we said, please go onto Apple Podcast, find the Bioscope Russell page and go and rate and review the page. And then someone share it also, man.
Yeah, share, rate, review, like, smash buttons.
Smash that subscribe button.
Smash that. Smash buttons, break glass ceilings, be your best self. Yo, Abby took off her socks now.
Ah, can smell. And now she's looking at the back of her knee.
And she burnt a liquor line in her leg there.
Nox is excited because she smells like
pork.
No. You know when you used to take bully beef and you fry it in the pan.
Oh, where?
You slice up that bully beef.
It smells like fried bully
Spam. I did not know what bully beef is.
Oh, it is, you like bully beef. You said so. I like the thing in the tin. That bully beef is in the tin. It's not
called bully beef. It is bully beef. Now, what's it called, Abby?
Spam. No, spam is an American thing.
They call it in America.
Hawaiian, actually. But anyway, stay safe out there, guys. Remember, we all just caught in a simulation.
Or not.
Yeah. Get free. Break free, you sheeple. Okay. Stay safe, Jody.
Safe for us.